Hello, everyone. This is Rick with the CyberPro Podcast. We are excited for today's podcast because we have a repeat offender. We have Pete Gibson, who was number 114 back in August of 2021, 2 years ago. At the time, he was focused on talking to us about the relationship between the CIO and the CISO or the CISO. But today, we have a whole bunch of new fun questions and paths we're going to take this. So Pete, thank you for being back on the podcast.
Happy to be on.
Let's kick it off. What have you been doing and what have you been up to since the last time you were on the CyberPro Podcast?
Well, the last time I was on, I just finished up leading Johnny Rockets and Friendly's IT organization. As you know, I do turnarounds. And since that time, I've had the honor and the privilege of working for a lot of different companies in cybersecurity because we get brought in to challenge difficult situations, I would say.
Interesting. So having done that, having moved into that world where you're helping a lot of organizations with cyber, how do you feel the cybersecurity landscape has evolved over the past few years?
I would say it's in two facets. One is, I think now there's a lot of knowledge and understanding about how critical this area is. The other side of it is we have a long way to go.
When you talk about the two sides, I'm very interested in the future state right now. What do you think are some emerging trends, technologies, or even approaches that you're excited about across the IT organization, the cybersecurity organization as a whole?
Well, in the cybersecurity area, I think the tools are getting much better and are very good. But the issue is much like a lot of IT organizations and back in the early 2000s, you got a lot of dispersed applications, but you don't necessarily understand what they are all saying in a rolled up format. So it just seems like almost too many applications to really understand and have a good picture and have a good handle on the situation, unless you got a really good program that can roll it up and go do that for you. What I see in the future is I see it getting more and more complicated. You know, identity security is huge this day and age, not just signing on to the endpoint, but we're starting to see fraud as far as financial payments. You're starting to now see, you know, it's been out there, the deep fake in there that someone can go in and, you know, listen to the CFO on a podcast or something of that nature, record his voice, take it to an AI generator, and then call a person and say, I need you to release such and such a funds. So you just start to see just how complicated identity security is getting. And then also the other one is just how, and we all know it as professionals, just how, I'm going to say professional, that a lot of the phishing schemes and so forth are getting and into getting into organizations. So I find it to become more and more challenging in the cybersecurity area.
So Pete, I'm going to kind of bring back an old theme. You had talked to us a little bit about, you know, the chief information officer and their relationship with the chief information security officer. And I know that you've done all of those things, chief technology, chief information, you know, all those things. I'm curious, over the past few years, how have those C-levels, those leadership roles, morphed, if they have?
I continue to believe that they morph into organization leadership positions. So the CISO, in particular, just can't do his job through technology tools and focus on the protecting the organization through technology. Because this day and age, learning and education is such a key function, which means you've got to be able to do that across the entire organization. You've got to be able to evangelize the threat and, quote, not be Dr. Doom coming into every time he comes in, here we got trouble, he's going to tell us how bad we are. And you've got to be able to be this leadership position that you can guide the organization through this high area of risk. And you've got to do that not sitting in a cube or sitting in your office watching tools. You've got to be on the floor talking to various people.
I've seen you speak recently on podcasts on a couple of different social media platforms, and I know you do some in person as well. And you really highlight that importance of organizational leadership. What are a few key takeaways that you would like to share on how leaders can just be better?
For me, it's about being personable, it's being approachable. Because as you know, I read a lot too. And the person that's no longer with us is Colin Powell. And one of his principles was, as a high-level general, one of his things that he always taught his officers was, yeah, you're a position of leadership, but you want to create an organization to where people can bring you problems. So you've got to be approachable. So, and what does that mean to us in cybersecurity? You've got a person in their 60s might be doing a support position, and they say, I think I see something fishy, but I'm not sure I want to bother you guys. I'm not sure I want to approach you guys. And so I think it's up to you is that you have got to create this organization. You got to create this capability to where people aren't afraid to bring you problems, aren't afraid to ask you questions. Even though in the back of your mind, you go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You want to treat this culture to where you go, no, you're okay. You're fine. Thank you for bringing it up to our attention. And if you have any others, let us know. We'll be right here to support you and help you get through this. And I think that is so key. So it's up to you as this leader. You've got to be able to hold a line and say, nope, we're not going there. That's high risk. And talk to people and help them understand. But at the same time, you've got to be approachable. And right now, the way our current security works, and a lot of it is the CISO in particular, all he can really say is no. He de-risks the organization to the best of his advantage and the tools he has. So there's one bit of risk, no issues at all. And we're not going to do it at all. And I bring lawyers up. Corporate lawyers are kind of the same way. And we kind of joke and laugh. If you talk to a corporate lawyer about running a business, no way would you even be in business, right? Because in the food industry, there's food poisoning, there's hot food. You have people that come onto your property that might be a risk to the property and so forth and so on. In car rental, we could crack a car up and someone could get hurt and they could die. You wouldn't necessarily be in business. So it's up to us, and the cybersecurity is, we've got to be able to have a line of protection. We've got to be able to have people key and work for us, but we've got to be able to support and guide the business into helping them generate more money and revenue without saying, nope, can't go do that. So.
Love it. And so now, final fun question for you. First episode, we asked you your favorite retro technology. Today, I want to know, what's your favorite modern piece of technology that makes you smile?
Me being an old analytics guy, it's actually seeing analytics come to the forefront again. And you see it, there's always, and I've always been back in my government days, always a predictive analytics, statistics. And you probably heard me say this many times, one of the most powerful things a business can go do. Now you're seeing it in something called AI. And AI is one of these amoebic terms that, it doesn't really mean anything, but let's just go large language models, right? It's a statistical model, right? Neural networks and things of that nature that come in and they put these together. So I'm really excited as for technology to, even though we call it AI and it's not a great name, to start seeing statistics take a major role in the business and really getting people excited. I do think AI is here to stay. I think it's problematic in one area. Yeah, there's the risk side of AI that everyone talks about. But the other risk side is a lot of these companies that are in AI aren't making money. So that takes a lot of processing power to run a statistical model or to entertain a request. And so I was just reading a report right now as the average company right now is making 10 cents off a query, and it's costing them about 20 cents to run the query. So we've got to start getting the model right. Prices are going to go up. That means it's probably going to be less accessible to people from a business model and so forth. But done right, it has tremendous power, and it's an offshoot of predictive analytics that have been around for a long time.
Pete, thank you so much for once again being on the CyberPro podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Rick.
Thank you for tuning into the CyberPro podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on new podcasts and all of our cool bonus content.